Thank you, Dwight. It's been a very wonderful day, and for God's people, and especially for our church family here, to be able to gather together and pay tribute to our graduating seniors, to acknowledge our honor for them. And we're just so glad that all of you who stayed today for the luncheon made arrangements to be here. I know that the graduates were deeply appreciative of your presence and all the nice things that you had to say about them. If you're visiting with us tonight, we appreciate your coming. We hope you'll come again. You know, we all get discouraged at times. I don't know about you, but there are times when I get discouraged. Sometimes we don't really let it show. But there are times when we all face discouragement every day. We put up our hands. We try to live our lives according to the will of God. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to face trouble. No doubt, one of the greatest men that ever lived in the Old Testament was a man by the name of Job. Job was a man who eschewed evil. He was a man of whom the Bible says was perfect, that is, mature and righteous in the sight of God. And he was. And yet trouble came into his life. Sometimes we are so disillusioned into believing that Christians just do not ever have to mount up with trouble like the world, but that is not the case at all. I heard about a little bird one time. As a matter of fact, a woman was who owned this bird. She lived in the house. The bird was great comfort to her, and the bird lived in a cage, and he would sing all day long. Maybe you've seen birds like that. And this bird would just chirp, I mean, you know, all the time. Everything was going great. And that little bird was always happy. It brought joy and jubilation to the whole household continually with its singing. But one day, the mother was cleaning the house with a vacuum cleaner. She wanted to do the bird a favor and vacuum the bottom of the cage. Now, that was right charitable of her. But while cleaning the cage, she dropped the vacuum attachment, and she bent over to pick it up. And when she did, the hose went up into the top of the cage. She heard something go poof, and the vacuum began to race. The bird disappeared like magic as he was sucked inside. The woman was frantic at what she had done. She turned off the vacuum cleaner and opened the bag. She dug around in all of that dirt and dust until she found that little bird. She gently cleaned it, cleaned off its mouth, wiped out its eyes. She brushed him off and put him back on the perch. But that little bird never, ever sang again. He lost his song. You know, I think sometimes in life there are those of us who feel that we have lost our song. I remember reading one time in ancient Israel when the children of Israel had hung their harps on the branches of trees, and someone came by and asked why they had hung their harps on the branches of the tree. And the ancient Jewish people or Israelis said, "We have lost our song. We have no song to sing." You know, wouldn't it be a terrible plight in life to feel that we had no song to sing? Maybe you feel down in the deep reservoir of your mind tonight that you have lost your song. Something is going on in your life that caused you to lose your song. Maybe you and God are only privy to it. Let me ask you a question. Has the devil sucked you up into some dark vacuum? Has the devil caused you to lose your song? I'll tell you, probably most all of us at some point have been down in that spiritual vacuum of the devil. The devil always does his best to get us discouraged. When, you know, when we think things are going right and everything's getting better, something comes along, and it has a way of discouraging us from doing the things that we ought to do and experiencing the joy that God intended for us to have. Sometimes people feel they've done their best when their best was not good enough. He sucks us up, but we just keep coming out. And when we come out of that devil's dark vacuum, we have to do the same thing that that woman did for that little bird. We have to wipe our mouth, spiritually speaking. We have to wipe our eyes, and we have to shake the dust off and trust God again to give us a song. In the book of Psalms, chapter 40, verse 2 through 3, David, no doubt, had experienced something much like we're talking about here tonight. And he said, he brought me up, he's talking about God, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock and established my goings. Now that sounds almost kind of like that little bird that was sucked up in the vacuum. You and I have been down in the spiritual miry clay. We have been in that horrible pit, and God lifts us out. And notice what verse 3 says. The Bible says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord." You know, through the years, as a minister of the gospel, I've had a lot of opportunities to be around people who had been sucked up in that spiritual vacuum. They've gone through a lot of problems in their life and a lot of difficulties, but they didn't give up. They trusted God. And because they trusted God, they were enabled to overcome and find their song once again. Now, let me share a few things with you tonight that really are important, and I want you to remember. Let me tell you, first of all, number one, don't get and don't stay discouraged. You know, if the Bible, again, teaches us anything at all as God's people, it teaches us that we should never stay discouraged. Yes, we get discouraged. We all like to sing Home on the Range. You remember that old song? It says, "Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a what? Discouraging word." We had a fellow who led a public prayer here a number of years ago, and he came up here and he was leading his prayer, and I didn't take issue with it. I thought it was okay. And he was a real country old boy, you know, and he got up here and he said, "Lord," he's dead now, and I'm so, you know, you some of you would remember him, but I ain't going to call his name. He said, "Lord," he said, "we're so thankful for this church where seldom is heard a discouraging word." And it was kind of humorous at the time, but I thought about that afterward, and I thought, you know, now that's a nice prayer. That's a wonderful thing for a person to have that perception of the church, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. You know what? I've been to a lot of churches where I heard a lot of discouraging words, haven't you? Have you been around people where you heard discouraging words? I have been around many of them, and they are discouraging. And if David is saying something to us here, it has to be, don't stay discouraged. That little bird never got over its discouragement. It never sang again. It would just get up on that perch, and it would just stare at everything around it. He was in literal shock. Some of us get shocked when bad things happen to us in life. We get discouraged and we want to give up. And we get discouraged and we stay discouraged. God says, "Listen, it will come to pass." I was talking to an old black man one time and he made this statement to me. He said, "You know what my favorite passage is in all of the Bible?" I said, "No, what is it?" He says, "That passage, it says, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay." And you know what? It is true. In life, when we go through problems, it didn't come to stay. God never brought it to stay. But it came to pass. He puts a new song in our heart. The devil has sucked you into the dark vacuum, but what? So what? Trouble has come, so what? God's alive. So if trouble comes and our God is alive and he is living, he will, listen, he will clean our mouth, he will wipe our eyes, and he will dust us off and put us up there where we need to be. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that God hears our cry. Notice what David said in this text. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard me. You think God doesn't hear you? You ever wondered sometimes when you pray, does God hear you? Does he really, over the hustle and bustle of life, does God really listen to the cries of his people? I am persuaded that he is and that he does. He's listening tonight. David said he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the miry pit, out of that clay, when there was no other way to get out. And he set my feet on rock. That's security and its stability as well. And if God could hear David, I'm telling you, God can hear us tonight. When you've had something knock the daylights out of you, spiritually speaking, and you're down in that pit, you need to turn to God. And as that song suggested just a few moments ago, it's amazing to me, Dwight, how sometimes these song leaders pick out songs that are so complimentary to the lesson, and they don't even know what I'm going to preach about. But ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? You know, when you think about that, and I think about many numerous biblical examples of people, and let me share just a few with you tonight. Israel got discouraged oftentimes because of the way. In the book of Numbers 21, verse 4 and 5, the Bible said, and as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God, and they spoke against Moses. You know what? When we get discouraged, sometimes we have a funny way of speaking against others. They spoke against Moses. They spoke against the preacher. Let me tell you something. Don't speak against the preacher. I'm on your side. We're in this together. You don't have to worry about me. I'm with you. Joshua was told to not let these words depart from your mouth. What were those words? When God told him to be strong, he said, and of good courage. Don't let these words slip from your lips. I think about Israel, but I think about John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist is one of the great unsung heroes of the Bible. He is. You don't hear too much about John the Baptist other than the fact that he was the forerunner of Christ. And that he was beheaded. And that's about all we know about John. But if anyone should get discouraged, it could have been John. John the Baptist had been there when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan because he baptized him. John the Baptist was there when the dove came out of heaven and descended on him in the likeness, or the Holy Spirit did, in the likeness of a dove. And John the Baptist was there when he heard the voice of heaven, God himself speak, and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Very few people were privy to hear the voice of God, but John the Baptist was. He saw Jesus cast out demonic spirits and perform miracles and heal the sick and the lame and the blind and the halt. But when John the Baptist wound up in jail, he got discouraged. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one who was to come, or shall we send for another? He was so discouraged that he began to question everything that he knew. Do you know, sometimes that's the way it is with those of us who are Christians. When we're going through great trial, we feel like, hey, you know, God, where are you? And we begin to question whether or not there's a God, or that Christ is there. Sometimes we find ourselves incarcerated in our own self-made cages and prisons, so to say. You may be in a furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But those of us who trust God will come out without the smell of smoke. And those of us who find ourselves in the lion's den will remember that just as God stayed the jaws of those lions when Daniel was there, God will stay the jaws of those who try to devour us. David was a man who got discouraged. In the book of 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 through 6, The Bible talks about David and his army. David had gone out to fight a war. And while they were gone, the Bible tells us that the enemy come back and burned their houses and raped their wives. While they were gone, when David's army came back, they were ready to stone David because they blamed David for what happened. The Bible says, however, that David was greatly distressed because of the people. When they thought to stone him, and he thought they were going to, the Bible says David made this statement. But David said, I will encourage myself in the Lord. And he did encourage himself in the Lord, and believe it or not, within 72 hours, David was the king of Israel. He was at his darkest hour, but God could again restore his song. David is referred to as the sweet singer of Israel. He used to play the harp to soothe the nerves of King Saul. And David wrote the majority of the psalms, or songs is what they are, in the Old Testament. Some of them we're so familiar with. But David had lost his song. But then he encouraged himself in the Lord. Israel was discouraged and spoke it. Now, here's one last thought that I want you to remember. Don't speak words of discouragement. Sometimes it's easy for us to tear each other down. Israel was discouraged and they spoke it. They were ready to blame everybody for their discouragement. We have to watch what we say when we get discouraged. Notice this. The Bible says that they spake against God. Now, you know, I can't think of anything more foolish than that, than to speak against God. When we get discouraged, we ought to praise God, not speak against the Lord. And we need to speak words of encouragement. Be careful what you say when you are discouraged. When you get angry, when you get down, and when you get discouraged, we have to be careful. Because sometimes we say things we regret saying. They spoke against God. That was their biggest sin here. They began to complain about their neighbor. They began to complain about everyone. And they forgot to look inward at themselves. You know, the Word of God says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have life everlasting. When we get discouraged, we ought to always remember God doesn't want us in that pit. He wants to lift us out. And He does. There was a time when David had found himself up against the wall. You ever heard people say, boy, I'm just up against the wall, nowhere to go? You know what? There was a time when David was like that. And you know what David said? He says, by the help of my God have I leaped over the wall. Sometimes we just keep hitting our head against the wall and we don't get anywhere. We just stay in that little vacuum. But we have to remember that God wants to get us out. You can't live in a vacuum. There's no life. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no hope while you're in the vacuum. God says, I want to lift you out of the vacuum. I want to get you out of the pit. And I want to lift you up and put your feet on a rock. Because we were made to be on a rock. I think that's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit and inspiration refers to Jesus as the rock of ages. He is. We sing that old song, but isn't it true? And even the church itself was built upon the rock, wasn't it? Isn't that what Christ said? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. And the Bible even refers to Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Jesus talked about the wise man who built his house upon the rock, not upon the shifting sand of time. And we need to remember that. David said he lifted me. And I'm going to tell you something. God can lift you tonight. You may be going through a problem in your heart and in your life tonight. But I'm telling you, the answer is not staying in the vacuum. The answer is to get out. And we get out with the help of God and with the help of one another. You remember that man that was lame, and there were four other fellows who came along, and they climbed up on the roof and they cut a hole in the roof to get that man down into the presence of Jesus. You know what? We all have to lean upon one another. That man would have never, ever been healed, not it been for those who assisted him. And certainly those of us who are Christians tonight want to assist others who have great difficulty in their life. And God uses us sometimes to help pull you out of the pit. And we stand ready and willing to do that tonight. If you believe in Christ and you're not a Christian, why would you live in that pit? Why would you live in that vacuum, void of spiritual oxygen and void of spiritual life and vivacity and joy? No one wants to live in darkness, but we want to live in light. And that's where I want to live, and I hope it's where you want to live. And if you believe in Jesus tonight as God's Son, and you really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you don't want to, then obviously it wouldn't do you any good to come up here or to make some kind of shallow profession of faith. But if you really believe in Christ, and you believe that He is the passport to heaven, He is the way, the truth, and the life, and you're willing to make an acknowledgement publicly of that tonight and willing to repent of your sin and become obedient in New Testament baptism by being lowered in water and raised up at the command of Jesus Christ. It's not an edict of the church, but it's the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why we follow that. And if you're here tonight and you choose to do that, then we invite you to do it. And we also invite those who may be in a pit tonight. It may be something physically going in your life, something mentally going on, something emotionally with you that you're having great difficulty with. I hope God will lead you to come tonight and allow us to pray and lift you while we stand and while we sing.